Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with another Geek Culture Congress. I'm your host, as always, Luis Speedy Jr. Gonzalez, and hopefully I will be accompanied by the very great and talented and funny Mr. Tarek Lewis. Joey Franchise is walking in right now, getting ready for the show. What's up, Joey? What's going on? No. We live. No more pre-shows. It was a waste of time. I need you to put hook up your headphones so you could talk to our guest because he has us via Skype. Yeah, we have him via Skype right now. His name is Randall Begins Armstrong. Is Begins a part of your name, or is that just something for Facebook?
It's for Facebook.
Okay. Originally, so Randall Armstrong. We'll fix all that. And then he is, I like to call it, my local comic book expert. All right. So a little short story how I met Randall. Of course, he's one of Tarek's friends. He's one of Tarek's acquaintances from a while back. And the gentleman, Randall, worked for CBCS, right?
That's correct.
Yes. And then if you don't know what that is a company that grades comic books. Kind of like, Joey, like if you had a sports card. And you send it off to get graded?
Yeah.
And they put it in the plastic? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, that's dope, yeah.
Yeah, so they do the same thing with comic books. So they look at it and say, oh, this cover's wrinkled, it's got tape on it, or it's got a, you know, and then they grade it accordingly, you know. If the pages are white or dark or, you know, getting old, then they grade it accordingly. And then they encase it in plastic for posterity. And sometimes if you have a really good copy, it increases the value. If not, at least it, you know, you have it preserved in whatever state it is until you decide to open it up again or you sell it, you know?
Right.
And that's how I met this gentleman. So we always talked about whenever we sit there and I send books away, we always talk about other stuff. And I said, man, it would be great to have this guy on the show so we can really talk about, you know, what inspires the movies and the shows, which is the comic books, right?
Right, exactly.
Because we, you know, I haven't, you know... To not ruin it for anybody, I haven't really popped into comic book stores a lot.
Yeah, same here. But I heard there's quite a few out this area. There's actually the one in Lutz.
Yeah,
there's a lot. Really good.
There's a lot. So, Randall, I'll let you go ahead and finish introducing yourself because you also have your own store, right? Online only?
Yeah, it's an online store for the time being. I used to own another store real briefly, a brick-and-mortar store. I had to close that up because of personal reasons, but I'm back into doing it now. This time I'm doing online, but I'd like to segue it back into opening a physical location as well.
Cool, very cool. I'm trying to make you louder here because you're really
low. Oh, sure, sure.
I don't know why. Let's see how I can do this here. We'll just continue and I'll just make you loud with the magic of internet. With the magic of editing. So, we can hear him, right? We can hear him just fine?
Yeah.
All right, cool. And, of course, I have you on the show to talk to us about Wednesday's always comic book, new comic book day in the comic book store. So, today's Wednesday. So, give us what's going on in the comic book world. What's hot? What's happening? Educate us.
There's a few books that I'd like to give a spotlight to.
Okay.
I don't want to show any kind of bias. Like, I like all the publishers.
Right.
However...
It's okay. You can be biased. It's okay. It's your opinion. This is your time to shine.
Oh, no. Yeah, I understand. It's just that sometimes, especially working in comics and you're trying to offer books to people, a lot of times people will start second-guessing what you offer them just because of your bias, you know?
Right.
That's why I try not to be biased, because that way I'm able to kind of just... make recommendations, and then that way, because I've always been the type of person, like, I follow writers, I follow artists, and regardless of what publisher that they're at, and because I'm about quality, I like, you know, certain types of quality stories, and same thing with art, and so once I get people kind of like on the same path, like on the same kind of like mindset,
right?
People will usually pick up those books and those titles without even like second guessing it. They'll be like, oh, I know this is going to be good. Oh, I can't wait to read that. That's, you know, and it's about just, you know, I mean, it's art, it's objective. So everybody has different tastes. So that's why. But what's hot this week, I think, in my personal opinion, several different titles, the new Buffy the Vampire Slayer comic book.
Oh, new Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You got to tell me about that.
Wow.
Who's writing that? Who's drawing that?
In all honesty, I haven't had a chance to really dive into it.
Okay, no, it's okay.
I don't know who's writing and drawing, but I did manage to flip through the book real quick because it just came out. And I like the art. I dig the art. I think it's the same kind of quality of art that you get when people have been picking up and reading the Buffy comics back when it was with Dark Horse, but now that it's with Boom. And they're going right back to high school, so they're not like Dark Horse had it set up to where the stories were the continuation of the characters after the show. So it was like season 8, season 9. With the current new series that's out, they're back in high school. It's all fresh.
So they're not doing that. Yeah, they did the season 9 in comic book form, and they ended.
Yeah, it was through Dark Horse. The licensing ended with Dark Horse. Now, Boom picked up licensing for Buffy. Okay. And so the first issue just dropped. Not long ago, I read somewhere that apparently the first issue is like essentially already sold out. Like it's already going into a second printing. So that's one of the issues that I think that's hot right now.
That's really cool.
Anything that sells out and it goes into a second printing this fast, a lot of times people want to kind of just jump on it and grab it. Just in case, like it soars up, it goes up in price, you know. Because then nobody wants to pay more than what they can get the book for. You know, if they can get the cover price,
right?
You know, nobody wants to turn around and be like, "Oh my god, it shot up $20, $30. Now I gotta find this book and pay $20, $30 for it." You know,
right? Is there a bunch of variants with that issue too? This is a number one, like a brand new take. And what's the company?
Boom Studios. Yeah.
Boom Studios, okay.
And I see that the the executive editor is Janine Schaefer, and the writer is actually Jordi Belair.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for looking that up.
No problem.
I'm personally not familiar with those names. They've probably been working with Boom for a while. Other people might know that Boom Studios also makes the Power Rangers comics.
They need to put that shattered whole story in a graphic novel so I can read it all in one take. When are they going to do that? That's what I want to know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's probably going to be in two trades because it crossed over with the other Power Rangers title, which was the Go-Go Power Rangers.
Right.
So it could be a combination. They might have put it all into one graphic novel, or they might be splitting it up into two like smaller graphic novels. I'm sure down the road they might even just combine all of it and put it in one big graphic novel. That way you can read the entire story.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough.
You know what's interesting about this Buffy the Vampire, you know, the comic out? I've read that Josh Whedon was actively involved in helping develop the comic, and he's actually putting together several storylines for the Buffy seasons.
Yeah, ever since when they did the Dark Horse series, when they started following it after the series ended, ever since that happened, Joss has definitely been heavily more involved. But yeah, he's still involved. I think part of the reason they're doing this new Buffy series as well is because there's been talks of them rebooting the show, like either, you know, restarting it, like recasting everybody, and then just having like a new Buffy.
That's dope. Is this through CW still?
No, because I believe originally it was 20th Century Fox that produced the show.
Oh, okay.
So there's a chance that Fox will probably want to either put it on their network or put it on FX.
Or they might
shop it around, probably put it on Hulu.
Okay,
that might be Disney soon, huh?
Yeah, soon. That'll be a Disney thing.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Well, you see, Disney actually owns a little bit of Hulu. So, like, anything that doesn't fall in line with their brand, they usually probably put it through a different company.
Okay.
So, like, so essentially, like, Marvel, Star Wars, Disney, you're going to find all of that on Disney Plus. Anything that's essentially rated R or anything that's kind of, like, maybe Fox-related, it's either going to end up on Fox or it's going to like end up on Hulu, I think. There's always a possibility. I think whatever they had going on with Netflix, it's definitely done, especially with Netflix canceling like most of the Marvel shows.
Right.
So, yeah, a lot of shenanigans going on between the two.
All right, cool. So what else is happening in the brand new comic book world?
With comics also, well, Buffy, like I said, has been the big one. There were, like, several variants that came out on that one. What's the other one that I noticed? Oh, Naomi.
Uh-huh.
Naomi is through Wonder Comics, which is an imprint of DC Comics. So essentially, okay. It's a DC comic book. Brian Michael Bendis is writing it along with David F. Walker, I believe. Now, another thing about this book that I think might be hot is Bendis loves creating new characters. He did it over at Marvel.
Right.
He created Miles Morales. And now Miles Morales is blown up with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Even before that, kind of appearing in like one of the animated series, more and more people are starting to get to know him. Even like with Jessica Jones, you know, Brian Michael Bendis also created Jessica Jones. So I have a feeling that Naomi, being this brand new character that he's co-creating, it's going to be on that level eventually. Maybe not right away, but like maybe 5-10 years from now, it might reach that level of interest amongst fans and, you know, collectors and readers. That's one of the great things about Brian Bendis is that he's great with characters. He's great with character development. And so with this book kind of coming out, like I bought up at least several like extra copies. It never hurts to have a first appearance. So, so that's one of the books I'm definitely excited for.
I think it's cool too because I guess the issue opens up with her visiting Superman.
I was browsing through it, and by the way, the art looks really good. Like, it was way better than what I was expecting. A lot of times when they do characters like this in independent books, they like to usually go for like a different look or a different tone. But this looks real sharp. It looks way better than I was expecting. But yeah, I believe Superman. I don't know if she's like there when, because I guess her character is in the DC universe. So characters like that, a lot of times they go through experiences, or they go through a situation where like maybe a character is fighting another character, and they're kind of like on the sidelines and they're seeing everything going down.
Right.
So like as I was browsing through it, I did see Superman in there. And I was just really kind of blown away by the art. Like, I can't wait to like really dive in and read that issue. I've always liked Bendis. I know towards the tail end of Marvel, because the man he's a writing machine. Like, that guy was writing like 5 comic books a month for like several years, you know. So like, I feel like he was like the goose that laid the golden egg, and I feel like Marvel was kind of just draining him. And so that's why towards the end, people were kind of just complaining about some of the stories that he was writing. They were like, oh, his writing isn't as good. Quality is not that good. And then now people were worried that when he came over to DC Comics that was, you know, he wasn't going to deliver like great top-notch quality. And so far, people have been like very happy and impressed with what he's doing. Another book that he's releasing through his imprint, Wonder Comics, is Young Justice. That came out just like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that. The Young Justice looks pretty hot.
Yeah, Patrick Gleason, fantastic writer, very consistent. He's worked with one of my other personal favorite writers, which is, I'm drawing a blank right now.
It's okay.
Peter Tomasi is his name, yeah. Pete Tomasi is actually currently writing Detective Comics, and they're actually leading into Detective Comics issue 1000. That's getting ready to drop in March. And lots of superstars. Kevin Smith is going to be one of the guys writing in that issue. I believe Bendis is writing one of the stories as well. Tom King, who's another big writer over at DC. Lots of great artists. Jim Lee is doing a cover. That's going to be a hot book. I just submitted my orders for that book. And I wish I had more money to buy more.
Well, hopefully some people will check you out after this show, and then you'll be able to have some more money to order some books, eh, for people, huh? Tell me what's...
Now, I want to stay on Naomi real quick, because I know that her character is actually, like, he's taking an interesting route with this one, obviously trying to bring the equality within the comic book world, because because of her sexual orientation also. So, I mean, I'm just reading here that, you know, she is, you know, of the alternative lifestyle. So is that being like, you know, is this like something brand new? I don't know if Marvel or anybody else have touched upon it, but this is the first time we're seeing this in comic book.
There was rumors. I can't remember if they confirmed it or not, because I don't follow Miles Morales that closely. But like when Bendis first created Miles Morales, they were talking about how he's supposed to be like, you know, a mixture, like half Hispanic, half black. And yeah. then on top of that, there were even rumors, and I don't know if they ever clarified it or not, but he was supposed to be bisexuals also.
Oh, okay.
So like okay. Bendis is no stranger to, you know, like creating new characters and kind of trying to bring in that trying to make it inclusive, you know, so that way other people, other readers can find a character that they feel like they can relate to based on, you know, their personal orientation.
Very cool, very cool. What's new? What else is new? Tell me. Give me more.
Oh, man. Guardians of the Galaxy number one.
Yes, I saw that. He's got a whole brand new lineup, Star-Lord.
Yeah,
he's got
yeah.
some classic Guardian characters.
Cosmic Ghost Rider is
right.
it, which is
I did see that.
Characters that Donny Cates created. The writer that's writing it, his name's Donny Cates. He is like probably the hottest writer, and I don't mean in looks. I mean like he's like the most popular. He's the most popular writer probably at Marvel right now. And he doesn't just write for Marvel as well. He has one or two books, I believe, through another publisher called Aftershock Comics. In time, you'll realize like there's probably at least a dozen publishers out there, but of course, the two biggest that everybody knows is Marvel and DC. But Donny Cates, right now, he's on fire. You could put his name on any book right now, and I think people will just pick it up just because he's writing it.
Really?
So, okay. He's the new big writer now, and he's writing Venom as well. You know, so from Venom, he was writing Thanos, and I think they canceled it. Marvel has a really bad habit of doing books and then canceling them and restarting them at number one. So Punisher at this point has probably had 20 different series.
I know.
You know, I can go on and on about it. It's frustrating. It's like yeah. I wish I get that Marvel loves these number ones and makes them money, but I personally like consistency.
Yeah, look at DC. They continued after the reboot with the number order, huh?
Yeah, they also have a bad habit of restarting their books, but not nowhere near as Marvel.
Right.
You know, usually they wait for like a big event to do it. So when they did New 52, which was really huge at the time, like canceling mm-hmm. all of their books, restarting everything at number one at the same time, that was really, really huge for DC. And unfortunately, it kind of died down, and fans just weren't really happy with the continuity and everything that was going on with the characters. So I actually... way back when I had my store, I spoke to Dan Didio, and Dan Didio is one of the head publishers over at DC Comics, and he had mentioned how originally when they renumbered all of the books, the two books that they didn't want to renumber were Action Comics and Detective Comics. They didn't want to renumber it. They wanted to keep the original numbering but renumber everything else. Unfortunately, his bosses said, nope, if you're going to renumber everything. That means Action Comics and Detective. But very similar to like what Marvel has done before, they've gone back to like original numbering. So they have gone back to original numbering with Action Comics and Detective Comics. And because they've been releasing a lot of these issues like twice a month, they were able to kind of speed up the process and get to the actual 1,000 issue. So Action Comics 1,000 came out last year. I believe that was the top-selling comic book of 2018.
Really?
Yeah, and so, of course, we have Detective Comics 1000 coming out in March, and that will probably also be the largest selling book for the year. There's a chance.
Wow, cool. Okay, what else? Anything else? I did see something for Turok. A Turok number one?
Turok.
I want to shout out Tarek. No, I want to shout out Tarek Lewis.
Oh, okay.
Just joined us.
What's going on, man? I thought you just mispronounced my name.
No.
Okay.
No. Turok. You know, remember the game from Nintendo 64? Yeah.
That was epic.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead. Say that again one more time.
Which person?
Oh, anybody. Whatever you said, man. That's okay. We missed you.
Turok's a classic character, man. Originally through Valiant, and then after a while, I guess the licensing ended. So I think the new Turok book is from a publisher called Dynamite. And I believe Ron Mars is writing that. I do like Ron Mars. I became a fan of his from back in the mid to late 90s. He was writing Green Lantern. Back when it was Kyle Rayner that was Green Lantern, Hal Jordan at this point was dead from one of their event
stores. The Parallax thing? And he was a bad guy? Was that it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I love that when Geoff Johns took over Green Lantern, he eventually kind of explained and he fixed how he technically really wasn't a bad guy. He was just possessed. And it made perfect sense. It actually flowed and works with the storyline. So I like how they kind of retconned that. Geoff Johns, if some of you don't know, he is one of the all-time greatest comic book writers.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And he's all behind everything that's happening in the DC Universe app and the new Teen Titan, all the Titan show, all that stuff. All the movies. He's behind the movies as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
His position has kind of changed now. He's no longer chief creative officer.
Yeah, right. I did hear that.
He's more of a producer now. So I think he's also one of the producers for the Shazam film.
Yeah, he is. Yep. Which we just got the new trailer for recently.
Yes, yes. Very excited for that movie. I think DC's really made this huge turnaround. You know, I personally like Zack Snyder, but with him kind of being absent, with him being gone now, now you have quite a few haters that have can't hate on DC as much, you know, because all they could say was, oh, Snyder, Snyder, Snyder. Well, Snyder's gone now, so yeah. What kind of garbage are you going to talk now?
That's right.
You know, they tried to talk bad about Aquaman, but Aquaman's made over $1 billion. It's clear that people enjoy the film.
Yeah, it was a great movie. It was fun.
I mean, to steal something from another podcast, Kevin Smith said it best. I mean, let's just go all the way out, do the best Aquaman movie we can, the craziest way possible, with as many bad characters as we can possibly include, you know? And they did it, you know, just in case we can't do another one.
Yeah. It's like when Lucky Charms put those extra marshmallows in there.
Exactly. Just throw it in there and worry about it.
All marshmallows.
Yeah. We'll add new characters. We'll add new bad guys. We'll do whatever.
Purple carburetors. Where's that?
Jeff, are you starting a rumor that Lucky Charms is going out of business?
No. No. General Mills, that had nothing to do with this.
About to go out of business.
No, they just made $1 billion. Why would they do that?
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question. You were mentioning some other publishers that were up and coming. What are some of those publishing companies?
Oh, other publisher companies. Yeah, well, we have Aftershock Comics. Aftershock's great. They do a lot of independent titles, variety of stories. There's one story that's actually getting ready to come out, which is kind of like a vampire story that I'm very intrigued about. I think it's a dark red or red dark or something like that. That one I would keep an eye out for. But they do a variety of stories. There's another series that they do called Dark Ark, which is kind of like touching up on the whole Noah's Ark, but you find out that there was another Ark. And the other arc had like all the like more evil, like crazy looking demonic creatures, and so like stuff that you know you know it's an interesting take, you know.
Praying mantis had to be somewhere, right? The praying mantis and the dung beetle had to be somewhere. They couldn't just be on the regular arc.
It's just like, you know, all these just and the art, you know, like it looks fair, looks good. I'm just more intrigued by the story. It's written by Cullen Bunn. And Cullen Bunn, if you don't know him, if you ever get a chance to, this guy probably writes comic book villains, or just villains in general. Like, he writes the best comic book villains, in my personal opinion. He's written a Sinestro comic book series, which I thought was great. He's written a Lobo series. He's written Magneto for Marvel. And just very just consistent and great. It's always neat to see like a villain get his own series, because the writers kind of get to explore their perspective, you know, because a lot of times we always see like the whole hero aspect, like the heroes are like, you know, you're seeing it from their vantage point, their point of view, and a lot of times you don't understand like what motivates the villains, why are the villains doing this, you know. Magneto has become one of those great villains because he kind of feels justified and has that reason for doing all the bad that he does, you know? And so that's why, and people can kind of relate to that. And so they don't even half the time, or even like some of the time, they don't really view him as a villain. They just see him as an angry person who feels he wants justice, and he's justified in the actions that he does.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Yeah.
Very cool. What else is happening?
Yeah, so like Tarek was mentioning what other publishers are out there. The independent publishers that have been around for a while now, you have Dark Horse Comics.
Yeah.
Dark Horse back in the like late 80s, early 90s. They were doing like the Aliens comics, the Predator comics. They did some licensing. They're most well known for doing Hellboy.
Mm.
The licensing rights. Obviously, once Disney purchased Marvel, once Disney purchased Star Wars, and they already had Marvel, they were like, okay, it's time to bring Marvel back to, time to bring Star Wars back to Marvel. But that's what mostly Hellboy is known for the longest, was like Star Wars and Hellboy. And so now there's other licensing that they're doing as well.
Like Dark Horse.
Just recently they just started a 4-issue miniseries on one of the characters from Avatar, the James Cameron film.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I didn't even know that. See? Interesting.
Oh, yeah. You know, I picked up a couple copies just in case, because I don't recall seeing any other Avatar comics. So this could be the very first Avatar comic, printed. I could be wrong on that. But I'm a huge fan of James Cameron. I'm very excited for the Avatar sequels.
Very cool.
The man is the king of sequels. And fun fact also, the TV show Entourage.
Yeah.
They had James Cameron in that, and he was the director of the Aquaman film in that their little Entourage series.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of neat.
Very cool.
But other publishers. Dark Horse is one of the older ones, older independent publishers. Image, of course, a lot of people should know who Image, which publisher that is, because you've had like great artists like Jim Lee, Todd McFarlane. You know, when people think of Image or they think of independent books from the 90s, a lot of times you say the word Spawn and they're like, oh, I know who you're talking about, Spawn. You know, because you had Spawn who ended up getting a movie in the late 90s.
About to get another one.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Jamie Foxx, man, Jamie Foxx, and what's his name? Jeremy Renner. Jeremy Renner will be one of the other actors in.
Really? That's dope.
Oh, yeah. He's supposed to be playing one of the detectives. I think his name is Twitch.
I remember Twitch from the cartoon, the HBO cartoon.
The HBO cartoon series. Was it Keith David?
Keith David, right? Has the voice of Spawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted to see a Savage Dragon. You guys remember Savage Dragon?
I like Savage Dragon. I got a number one Savage Dragon at home in my box somewhere. Dragon.
I always wanted to see Savage Dragon movie.
There was a cartoon series of Savage Dragon.
Was there? I think a Saturday morning cartoon, right?
Yep, on the USA Network back in the day.
I do remember that.
Like mid-90s, mid to late 90s, there was Savage Dragon cartoon series. It wasn't on television for too long. It maybe like a couple years. I loved perusing through all the different channels and checking out all the different animation. And even Wildcats. There was a Wildcats cartoon series from Jim Lee.
I do remember
Wildcats. I owned that on DVD. Unfortunately, Savage Dragon, I believe, is the rights are owned by Universal. And at one point, the creator of Savage Dragon, Eric Larson, I asked him on Twitter about the cartoon series. And he said that he has no control over it. That it's all up to Universal. Universal has the rights, and it's up to them if they want to release it and put it on DVD. But the cartoon series was a lot of fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, so anything else that we're forgetting? Anything else new happening? You want to talk about?
As far as comics?
Yeah.
No, I think I kind of touched base on all the big ones. I mean, the other issue that came out, because we were mentioning a Shazam film, there is a new Shazam comic book series that Geoff Johns is writing.
Okay.
The second issue just came out. First issue, of course, came out about a month ago. the series is interesting because it's really about the Shazam family, which I believe the film looks like it might be heading that direction. If you have time and you check out the IMDb page for Shazam and you scroll through all the different actors that are listed on the film, you're going to see several named people that you're like, this person's not in the trailer. I have no idea this person in the movie.
You're just looking for spoilers already, Randall. What's going on? See? I think we got a new spoiler. A new spoiler person.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Randall's going into the credits.
A lot of it's all speculation, but I mean, some of those people might like appear at the end of the film with powers similar to Shazam. If you read the comics, essentially the comics themselves are spoilers almost, because you can almost anticipate what they're going to put into the film based on Geoff Johns' adaptation. Mm-hmm. You have Billy Batson, who is an orphan, and he gets in with a family with a bunch of other orphans as well. And so it's those group of kids, all the orphans, that they eventually end up all getting abilities similar to... We refer to him as Shazam, but in the comics, classically, his name is Captain Marvel.
That's right, yeah.
And oddly enough, there's a Captain Marvel movie coming out in March. So I always like to joke with people. I'm like, what are the odds that we're going to get two Captain Marvels first time on film in the same year?
It's a great time to be alive. I always say that. It's a great time to be alive.
Two Quicksilvers.
We did already have two Quicksilvers, yep. Yeah, we did. All right, so thank you so much, Randall, for giving us the update on New Comic Book Day, what's happening and what's hot in the comic book shop. Of course, go to your local comic book shop. And Randall, go ahead and plug everything that is your comic book store. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I have a couple things I'll plug real quick.
Okay.
I have a comic book group on Facebook called Comic Book Collectors League.
Okay.
Small group right now, but like we like to go in there and we don't sell anything in there. We just talk about comics, people, and anything related to comics. So it could be film, television, video games.
Cool.
People posting like what they buy, what they've purchased. You know, kind of just, you know, sort of like a show and tell, sharing what they've gotten.
Cool. Can you do me a favor and share this video in there? Because we need some more video. Oh, of course. I'm just kidding. Not now, later. What else? Go ahead.
There's that. And then, of course, like you said, I have my online comic book business. It's called Blank Variant Comics.
Okay.
For the average person, I always get this confused look on their face, like I don't
understand what a blank variant is.
For people who are into collecting comic books, they understand when I say blank variants, because there's a trend. I don't want to say new trend, but it's been going on probably at least between 5 to 10 years now, where publishers are now releasing comics with blank covers on it. With the popularity of comic book films and pop culture. There's more comic book conventions that are appearing. And within these comic book conventions, you have local artists and top name artists that actually offer commissions. By commission, I mean like they will draw on the book for a price,
whatever
you want. And so blank covers have been around since then. And so I just thought to myself, hey, wouldn't it be great to kind of start a comic book business where I can offer comics, but at the same time, I kind of want to be like the main hub. Like if your local comic book store doesn't have a blank cover that you need for a commission, you can go right over to blankvariantcomics.com and pick up what blank variants I have in stock.
Very cool.
So it's still in the beginning stages. And then also, if you live locally, I'm offering great deals and discounts in Tampa, St. Pete, Brandon area. I do 30% off on comics if you prepay. If you don't prepay and you just wait for the books to come out, I offer 25% off. There is no limit. You can say, okay, I only want one book, no problem. You want 10 books, 50 books, 100 books, no problem.
Very cool. Very cool. So hang out with us while we talk about us, wrap up the show with some other topics. Joey wasn't here to get in about Glass. Did you actually catch it?
Yeah, I actually caught it.
So give us your review and go ahead and spoil everything because we've already watched it already.
Well, I thought it was the worst of the three movies.
Interesting. Okay.
Really didn't feel like a Glass movie. I feel like they just regurgitated everything from Unbreakable to kind of bring everybody up to speed since the movie's like 20 years old.
Regurgitated?
Regurgitated.
Yeah. I haven't heard that. Yes, I know. I know what it means. Maybe. I just haven't heard the word in a while. Sorry.
But, yeah, I wasn't... I thought it was okay for what it was. I mean, I thought... It didn't get cool to the end. for me. I thought what was cool was the fact that, you know, they, you know, people were aware. There was a group, a secret society that was aware of these superheroes, per se.
Yeah, I didn't like that. And I didn't like the sending off.
I thought that was cool in a sense because it was just like, oh, like that was the, like the little twist of the movie. Yeah. I finally got some like, oh, like a oh my god moment. Yeah. So I was cool. Like I was, that was like probably in my opinion the best part.
Did you feel like you wasted your money, Joey? You could have watched this on Netflix later.
I could have. Yeah, it just didn't feel.
Wasn't happening for you.
It didn't really do it for me. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, that was a really. That was probably. I'm glad I did not share that one. No, I'm just kidding. We did get the hookup to get some movie previews. So
oh yeah,
check
did.
It out.
Yeah, oh yeah, I saw the preview. Yeah, I saw before everybody else.
So I won't send this link to them.
The beauty of working during the day.
Yeah. Randall, have you checked it out?
No. Actually, I haven't even seen Split yet.
Dang, I just spoiled the movie for him now. Why don't you do that, Speedy?
If he's not in it, he's not in it to see Split. He's not in it. Yeah, right, Randall?
I eventually do want to see it. I think the problem with this film was there was just too much hype. You know, so, I mean, a lot of times when there's too much hype for a film, and you go in there and you have all these expectations, and then it doesn't live up to those expectations, of course you're going to be disappointed.
Yeah. Very much true.
I'm sorry. Bruce Willis is just washed up.
He was pretty old.
He's so washed.
Well, he's an old man, though. Yeah. He's old.
I mean, Morgan Freeman's old and still kicking ass.
That's how you see Morgan Freeman's legs, though. They only show Morgan Freeman neck up.
Does Morgan need to really stand?
You get past that little button in the tie. Yeah. That's it, dog. You don't get no more below.
I mean, does he really need to stand? He could just sit down in a chair and just do his thing.
You can watch the back of Morgan Freeman's head and just hear his voice.
For real.
Now you want me to see now you're giving me the idea, like, I want to see an action film with starring Morgan Freeman.
I would. I would, too. I thought
he's a cop with a gun, and he's, like, just one-liners after another, one after another.
Well, if they recast X-Men, I would say, hey, oh, shave that head and be Professor X. Switch things around
Morgan
a little bit.
Morgan Freeman as Professor X?
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Wow. A little different.
Interesting.
They could,
I think would be good.
They can make another Olympus movie.
You would have a lot of butthurt fans. Yeah. Like, wait a minute.
Oh my god, here we go to political correctness.
I'm just going by the voice. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he would sway me to go to Xavier's, you know, school.
Yeah, but he wouldn't scare Magneto and be like, Magneto is coming to destroy us all. You don't sound
but
like
nah, what was man. Nah, what was the movie about the Jersey high the high school in Jersey? Was it Lean on Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. You told me.
But you're doing Magneto. You're killing yourself.
All right.
Yeah, you do.
So we won't dive into more of Glass on the part of me and Tarek. So
yeah, we might not need to revisit.
I
think.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah,
it was all right for what it was. Okay. It was the worst of the three movies, but it
was all right.
It flowed. Right. You know, it was all right.
We'll see you, Randall.
There's nothing else out. Nothing else to Captain Marvel, so
see,
might as well.
Split first. Split is a great movie.
Yeah, Split was really good.
Oh,
yeah.
You might want to wait for Amazon Prime. Be honest with you.
Wait for that Netflix special?
Yeah, you know, don't rush. I heard Hulu lowered the prices.
Don't run, okay?
It'll be on Hulu.
I gotta ask one question about this since you brought up Netflix. What do you think about Netflix's prices going up? I already feel like I'm going to take a break on Netflix, save a little bit of money, and then come back later.
How much is it? I mean, I really don't pay for an account.
T-Mobile pays for my Netflix right now, so
I'm stealing my sister's account right now.
Yeah,
I don't got to worry about that.
Phased by it.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure the person whose account I'm on is still alive. I got to be honest with you.
Oh.
I got in early. No, I think it's going up like $1.99 or something like that, which is not. People aren't really going to feel that. I think they're going to stick with it.
I'm okay.
Most people will stick with
it. I think the shows are really keeping people hanging on, too. They're putting out really good films and really good series on there, too. I want to watch the show You.
Oh, it was great.
And I saw the, they did the, I really want to watch that documentary on the Fire Fest.
Yeah.
I heard that was really good.
Yeah.
I watched, I wrote a little review about the Devilman Crybaby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And on the Geek Culture Congress Facebook page, which you haven't liked that yet, please go do so. And it was completely disgusting, but I enjoyed it somehow.
Yeah. Well, I think that...
You know, I was trying to eat dinner, too, while I was watching it. So
well, you make a lot of mistakes when you watch it. But I know they're losing these Marvel shows, but I was really upset about that. But now I'm like, man, You was so good. They had this movie, Io. I haven't watched it yet. But, you know, the guy who plays Falcon is right. in it. Anthony Mackie is in it. And the girl from
I saw that. That looks good.
Leftovers. That looks good. And they keep coming up with original stuff that I I would stay on just for original programming. What Happened to Monday was great, So Netflix is in there with the original programming.
We're into me and Tarek are kind of midway through Punisher season 2 right now.
Right, yeah, we'll be having
Punisher. And we'll have some. Are you into Punisher?
I haven't gotten into it.
Yeah, maybe in it. What about you, Randall?
I am behind. I joke with my friends all the time because I was always big on to anything comic book related. I'm on top of it. I watch every episode, every series. But I joke with my friends now and I say, man, if I can just time travel back 10 years and tell my younger self, there's just too many for you to watch.
It is.
It's way too much.
It's a lot.
It's hard to take in. This is why I enjoy the Marvel movies a lot more. Because it's like, you know, it's just so much to take in. And sometimes it's just too much dialogue. Like, Jessica Jones had way too much dialogue for me to kind of, like, really enjoy. Because I feel like the entire show was just her, you know, chasing after this dude that she probably could have killed, like, 8 times.
Yeah. Punisher season 2 is a lot more of that.
Yeah. And I realized at some point during Gotham that I was just watching New York Undercover.
Girl! Yes!
And I bowed out.
Yes!
All right. Yeah, I wish I could understand that reference. I never really watched New York.
Wow, boy. Probably before your time. Yeah. I know what you're talking about, though. I know exactly what he's talking about. I grew up on New York Undercover.
All right. So, what else? Oh, I did enjoy Titans, the DC Universe show. That was pretty dope.
I finished that whole season. I heard that's coming to Netflix. Yeah. But it's, I think it's Euro.
I think it's Euro.
But hopefully that can cross over.
Yeah.
And they can, like, take advantage of the fact that Marvel's, you know, leaving. And slide right in.
I don't know. See, I think they want to make all the money.
There's a couple things I want to mention on that. So DC Universe, their own streaming app, which I have, I very much enjoy it. They're making all of their own shows. What's great about that is that you don't have networks, you don't have other executives getting involved and talking about, you know, hey, we want to see this, we want to see that, no to this. They have the complete creative freedom to make their shows, which is what I love about it. It's all about creating new content. Now, why is Titans on Netflix in Europe? It's because DC Universe is not available to people in Europe, at least not yet. They want to work towards that. So in the meantime, for all the other DC fans around the world, they made a deal with Netflix. So Netflix actually pays Warner Brothers, possibly even DC Universe. They probably pay them for the rights to air Titans on Netflix across the Europe and the other countries. But the other thing too about Netflix, the smart thing that they did, and you may not know this, a lot of people I think don't know about this yet. One of my personal favorite writers is Mark Millar, and or Miller, however you pronounce it. I always say Millar, and he had his own characters, his own publishing line, so to speak. Called Miller World Comics. Well, Netflix has purchased Miller World Comics. They own his characters. They own Kick-Ass. They own Kingsman. They own all of that. And
I did see that. He came up with something, some magic comic book that I actually went to the comic book store and I bought.
Magic Order.
Yes, the Magic Order. Yep.
And so he's actually working for Netflix now. So everything that he writes, every new character, everything that he comes up with, it's all owned by Netflix. Netflix plans to turn and adapt a lot of their stories into both film and television. The biggest news, and I think it dropped earlier today, and Mark Millar announced it on Twitter, he is working with Sandra Bullock. She will be one of the executive producers for the Reborn film. And Chris McKay, who I forgot which film he directed, but he's supposed to be attached to direct the Reborn film based off of his comic book. So a couple big names right there that are already on one of his properties that Netflix plans to put out and release.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. So I want to talk about what's coming out in February because we're at almost near the end of January. And I want to do something new that I actually just thought of a little while ago. And I want the bomb or will it bomb?
Okay.
All right. So this is what's happening coming out in February. Okay. February 5th, we have X-Men Dark Phoenix.
That's Joey. February 5th?
Yes, February 5th.
No, it's not coming out.
No.
Huh?
Dark Phoenix not till June,
Dark,
right?
Dark Phoenix not till the summer, dude.
I have Dark Phoenix here February 5th. I don't know why.
Ooh, somebody lied to you.
You looking at the shoot date when February 5th, 2016.
This page is not working. Okay, so let's skip that one.
And it is coming out. Bomb. It's going to bomb.
Dark Phoenix
is going to bomb. Randall, yeah, let's just run with it anyway, even though it's not coming out in February. Joy franchise.
Dark Phoenix?
Yes. Will it be the bomb or will it bomb?
I think it's going to bomb, to be honest with you.
I think
people are already calling it a disaster.
So. Oh, wow.
I think it'll be a small poof. I don't think it'll bomb. I don't think it'll also be the bomb. It'll be somewhere in between.
I'm going to go with Tarek. I think it's going to be somewhere like in limbo there.
It's like a fart, but like the quiet one.
Yeah.
I would agree with Tarek that it's a small poof if the internet didn't exist.
Yeah.
Since the internet exists.
The fanboys are just going to kill them.
Destroy.
It's going to be murder.
The Sentinels, a.k.a.
It's going to be the Revenge of the Sentinels, a.k.a. the nerds. Anyway, let's move on to Alita, Battle Angel we got. That's it. Yeah. Joey, before he goes, he's got to start a show, and I kept him here longer. I feel bad.
I like to call this Real Player One Part Two. I'm going to say bomb.
Bomb. Wow.
Yeah. I'm literally, like, on the line. I'm on the fence. When I first saw it, originally it was supposed to come out last year, I think, and then they pushed it back to February. So had it came out last year, definitely would have bombed. Since it's coming out in February, and there really isn't, I think, a lot of big films coming out in February, I think it has a shot. It has a chance at doing well, especially when you have Robert Rodriguez directing it, and then James Cameron is one of the producers on it. So it all depends on how they market the film. If they market the film, if it improves in the next month, then I think it will be a decent success. If they don't market it well, absolutely, it'll bomb.
Okay. Interesting. I want to say poof, just because it can't do bad in February. You know, yeah, it's not battling with any other movies, and people like to see something new. I think it'll be all right. I think it's going to be another. The fans, if they don't like it, are going to tear it apart, which is a given with anything. So, is The Prodigy? Is that the pseudo Superman movie?
I don't think that's the name.
Is that the name of the one? I don't know.
Prodigy.
Yeah, Prodigy is kind of like his young son, disturbing behavior, signals that he has an evil supernatural force that's taking him.
Yeah, no, this is the really smart kid. This is the really smart kid. Right. So I just saw the trailer for this recently.
This is in our scope of our show. So what do you say, bomb or?
I'm going to say. The bomb for what it is, which I think is going to be a horror film, margins on horror films are a little different, you know.
Right.
I think it'll be a decent horror film.
What do you say, Randall?
Since I haven't really heard much on it, probably means that the marketing is weak on it, so I'm going to say it's going to bomb.
It's in February, too, so I think it's going to be a poof. Yeah. You know?
Randall says, since I don't know about it, it must be terrible.
We got the Lego Movie 2, the second part. I think it's going to be hilarious. I think it's going to be the bomb.
It's going to be the bomb. It's going to make a lot of money.
Yeah.
But like The Incredibles 2, like I didn't think Incredibles 2 was that good, and everyone loved it, but it wasn't really that good. No, I didn't. I was not crazy about Incredibles 2. It was like 30 minutes of Jack. Okay. How long is he going to fight this little squirrel?
I actually enjoyed Incredibles 2 better than the first one.
Oh, my God.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do you say about Lego Movie 2?
Bomb, I like the Lego one. Bomb? I think it would be bomb.
Yeah. Cool.
It's cool. I like the Lego movies. Lego Batman movie was awesome. The first one was cool.
So. Very cool. I think that's it for February.
Valentine's Day. Super exciting. Bomb or
All Star Weekend. Yeah. What Valentine's Day? We going to NBA All Star Weekend.
We're going to NBA All Star Weekend.
Oh, well, I want to thank Randall for. Go ahead and say what you want.
There's a lot of science fiction going on at the All Star Games. A lot of fake women. Fake ballers,
fake bottles.
Billy rentals would be up.
I will say, I think this upcoming February definitely won't be anything like last year February, because we know what came out last year February, and of course that being in the news again for the Academy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this February I think is going to just be weak compared to last year, but Lego Movie 2 I think might.
Save the month?
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, I don't think it's going to do Black Panther well.
No, no. It's going to make money because kids are going to go see it and it's going to be funny, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I almost can guarantee it's going to be funny. I mean, it's the same directors that just did Into the Spider-Verse, right?
Well, you know, it's funny. I don't think both of the directors directed Into the Spider-Verse. I think one of them was a producer and writer. Gentleman that was the director of Spider into the Spider-Verse.
Interesting.
But those guys do a combination of both producing and directing. They were originally supposed to direct the Han Solo film.
Right, and they got fired.
Right. And Ron Howard took over.
That's right.
Either way, like I love Ron Howard. Every time I see the Solo film, I don't really think of it as a Star Wars film. I think of it as a Ron Howard film. And I think that's part of the reason why I enjoyed the film so much. Mm. But yeah, as far as the guys that worked on the Lego movie, like they got tons of stuff in the works. I kind of wish, had they not went to Disney to do the Solo film, they would have made the Flash movie for the DC Extended Universe. Mm. And those guys deliver pretty good quality, and it would have been neat. It would have been neat to see what kind of Flash film they would have made.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah,
that'd have been interesting.
It's crazy how that went on ice and they made like Shazam.
Yeah.
We gotta do something with these lightning bolt outfits.
Yeah.
We spent the money.
I think DC is just trying to make characters, because both Marvel and DC sometimes have similar characters. So they're probably looking at their characters and they're like, we better make this character before they make this character on film, because then everyone's going to say we're copying Marvel.
Yeah.
When they probably want the reverse. They Fair want enough. It to be like Marvel copying DC.
Yeah, right. Marvel does Sentry, and then they do Shazam. It's going to be like, hey.
Oh, man. So I think that's it for today's show. I want to thank Randall Armstrong for joining us. Go ahead and drop your socials real quick if anybody wants to follow you.
Oh, yeah. I mostly am on Comic Book Collectors League if you're doing Twitter.
Okay.
At the CBCL on Twitter.
Okay.
And on Instagram, it's actually literally typed out Comic Book Collectors League, but with the bottom dashes in between each word. So that's for me on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, you can just find me on the Facebook group, Comic Book Collectors League. Or also you can go to the like pages of Comic Book Collectors League and the like page for Blank Variant Comics.
Very cool, very cool. Of course, Tarek, what's going on in your world? Go ahead and drop everything, your projects you're working on.
I just uploaded some new videos to my YouTube, and you can check those out. The YouTube is just my name.
It
was actually The Tarek Lewis, and my Instagram is My Name is Tarek, and my Facebook is just almost none of your business at this point.
Oh.
No, I'm joking.
Any stand-up dates?
I don't have a tentative date on the 16th. I can't really talk about it yet.
Right.
I'm not sure what's
going
on.
Talk about it, but hopefully the after party is back where I'm DJing at, because this guy over here, he was in rare form.
Yeah. I was turned up.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Super rare form.
I try and push him,
had
you know?
A bad one with him, too.
I try to push him and pick foot with him so he gives me some punchlines, you know?
Yeah.
he gets him in there. He gets him in there, you know? Joey, what's going on with you?
I'm currently on the air right now.
That's right.
He just did my first break before going into commercials.
Orlando, I'm sorry.
Back there. 7 to midnight, Monday through Friday, Wild 94.1.
All right. And, of course, you can follow My Nocturnal Life as a DJ at DJ Speedy JR. And if you're not following Geek Culture Congress, why are you even here? Go follow us right now. Geek Culture Congress on Instagram. Like the Facebook page. We're always live there before we put the audio on the podcast feed. And, of course, we're on the wild941.com page, 92.5 Maxima page. Thank you so much, Randall. Anything else you wanted to say, Tarek?
Thanks, Randall. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks, yeah, Randall.
I'm happy to be a part of it, man. I love it.
All right. Great, man. We're going to have you as many times as we can, hopefully on New Comic Wednesday, and then whenever you got some free time and you can chime in with us through, even if we have to do it through Skype, okay?
Sounds great. I appreciate it.
Thanks. All right. No problem, man. All right. Thank you. That's another Geek Culture Congress in the books, my friends.
Peace.
Thank you very much. See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.